Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Greatest Mixtape Podcast. My name's Eric.
And my name is Mac.
And today we're going to revisit a topic that we had covered what feels like many moons ago.
It was episode number 2, I believe.
It was actually number 2?
Yes.
Wow. Yeah, that's a little while ago.
It feels like it was 10 years ago, but it was like September.
I know, right? Yes, the topic is cover songs. We had so much fun doing it the first time around, and we said that when we recorded that we would definitely be revisiting this topic because A, we had so much fun, and B, we got a lot of feedback where other people enjoyed it too. The cool thing about talking about cover songs is I might think of a song that you didn't think of,
yeah,
and vice versa, and we get all excited about that. But other people, you know, I've got feedback like, I never even knew that song existed, or I'd never heard that version before. And people get excited about that.
Oh, absolutely. I had people, you know, thanking me for turning them on to, you know, this song or that song. And like you said, it's just sometimes, you know, we'll talk about songs that people are familiar with, but other times, hey, we'll bring up something that maybe we love that the rest of the world doesn't know too much about.
Absolutely. And the cool thing about this topic, as we said the first time, is we can, you know, go back to the well over and over and over again because there are so many cover songs, just tons of them throughout history.
And I think we've been holding ourselves back. We could have, you know, recorded, you know, part 2 of a favorite cover songs probably 6 months ago, but we're like, no, we can't come back to that soon. We have to space it out a little bit better.
Yeah, we probably could have knocked out like 4 or 5 episodes in one night if we really were that ambitious. But I think you're right. I think a little bit of time between, you know, visiting or revisiting the topic will make it a little more interesting because, you know, if you record 3 or 4 in the same night, you're in a certain headspace that night. And so you may not think of certain things, or because my list this time is vastly different than the first time around.
And between the last time I recorded and now, you know, we might come across new cover songs that we just didn't ourselves. We weren't familiar with. We're just discovering for the first time and we fall in love with and we want to talk about.
Funny you should mention that. I have one of those on my list.
Fantastic. Great setup.
It is brand spanking new to me.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in a minute.
That's awesome.
But yeah, it's a good one too.
So again, you know, like we say, this isn't a countdown of the top 5 or the best.
Right.
These are just cover songs that we really like and we wanted to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. This is not a countdown. We're not ranking. We're not saying these are the best. We just don't do that here when we cover a topic this broad. We just pick some and we talk about them because we like them.
Yeah, hold up. You know, don't get mad at us for not talking about Johnny Cash's Hurt or, you know.
Right, right. Pearl Jam's Last Kiss. How could you not talk about Pearl Jam? Well, we'll probably get to them one day, but maybe we're not tonight. I don't know.
Right.
And as usual, I don't know what you picked and you don't know what I picked.
Right.
Which is always fun.
Yeah. I missed that format. So we're going back to that tonight just to have a little bit of fun and try to surprise each other.
Yeah. Well, with that said, man, should we just jump in?
Let's do it, man. I can't wait for this.
All right. Well, since you're so excited, why don't you go first?
All right. So if anyone who heard us cover this the first time, I brought up a cover song by the band Infectious Grooves.
Yeah.
Covering Led Zeppelin's Immigrant Song.
Yep.
And I'm going to lead off this episode with another version of the Immigrant Song.
Oh, wow.
This is Karen O with
Trent
Reznor and Atticus Ross.
The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo soundtrack.
Yes, yes. 2011, part of that soundtrack. Fantastic version.
Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. So Karen O, best known, she's the singer of the Yeah, Yeah, Yes. Mm-hmm. She does the vocals on the track, music performed by Trent and Atticus Ross. But the song is, you know, it's a mix of sort of industrial beats, electronic instrumentation, distorted vocals, completely different from the original version.
Yeah, very.
You know, that iconic guitar riff, you don't hear it. You know, it's kind of turned into this, that guitar riff has turned into a sort of electronic industrial beat with sort of a keyboard sound.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't really hear any, you know, that riff isn't there, but the melody of the riff is there.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And I just love the version. I love Karen O. I love how she made it her own. It's such a unique interpretation of that song.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm just a big fan of women taking over sort of male dominated songs and just kicking ass on them.
Yeah, it's always cool to hear that. And it's, you know, what else is cool about that is it's dangerous to really rework and reinvent a song like that, especially such an iconic song.
Right.
But to just break it down completely and rebuild it into something totally new while retaining enough recognizability, obviously,
yep.
It's really, really dangerous and it can blow up in your face. That said, we're talking about Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're the masters of that.
Right.
And then Karen's vocals, it's a home run.
Right. It's a completely different version. It's the same song, but somehow it's a completely different song with somehow the same spirit of the original, but just done a different way. And I guess that's why we love covers so much. It's, you know, artists taking something that's already established and making it their own and presenting it back to the world a different way.
Yeah. And taking that big risk. Yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, I love that version. I could, again, something I can listen to every day, but just a great job by Karen O on the vocals, like I said. Of course, you know, like you said, Trent, can't go wrong with Trent.
No. There's stuff in his catalog that I like more than others, but, you know, even the stuff that I like the least is still amazing, you know?
Yeah.
Nice, dude. Great pick.
Thank you. Hey, let me just say something real quick here. We're talking about covers tonight, but let's take a minute to talk about a true original. Let's talk about Once Upon a Coconut Water.
I see what you did there.
I'm going to do it again, Eric. You ready?
Yeah. Yes. We need to start opening the episode with that sound. Hmm.
Again, tonight I'm riding with the coconut water and pineapple. Perfect drink for summertime. Another thing I love about Once Upon a Coconut, for every case of product sold, they donate 10% of profits to charity.
That's cool.
So that's good stuff right there. Made with 100% pure coconut water, never from concentrate, full of electrolytes to keep you energized and hydrated. Check it out at onceuponacoconut.com.
Nice.
All right, Eric, now let's get back to business here. Let's see what you got.
All right. So the last time we visited the world of cover songs, I went back and re-listened to the episode just to kind of, you know, refresh my memory. What we talked about, and I realized I stayed pretty heavy. Like, most of my songs were pretty hard rock or metal, so I kind of purposely steered a little bit away from that. That said, my first one I'm gonna say is probably the most rock or metal, so I'm just gonna come out of the gate with that one.
Awesome.
It's a cover song that was originally performed by New Order.
Oh,
do you see where this is going?
I think so.
All right, well, they released it in 1982. Years later, a little group named Orgy redid it.
Oh.
And the song is Blue Monday.
Dude, what a song, man. Such a great, great cover. Oh,
it's so good. It was an easy pick for a band like Orgy. They were formed in 1997 by vocalist Jay Gordon and two guitar players, Amir Durak and Ryan Shuck. And their sound, it's got an industrial edge to it. It's definitely in the nu metal realm, alternative metal, alternative rock. They were kind of a mishmash of things, but there was definitely an electronic component. Yeah. It wasn't super organic. It wasn't your basic drums, guitar, bass, and vocals. There was keys in there. There was synthesized guitar, synthesized basses, electronic drums. So their sound lent itself perfect to do a song like Blue Monday. It's just such a killer version. And it was on their debut album. They were the first act actually signed to Korn's Elementary Records.
Yep.
And Jonathan Davis personally signed them. He knew the guys and then heard the demos and was like, dude, we're signing this band.
Album title was Candy Ass?
It was Candy Ass. Nice job.
Ooh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Digging deep for that one.
Yeah, that one hurt, but yeah, I have that.
Yeah, 1998 it was released. So the band was formed in 97 and just, you know, in less than a year, got a record deal, released their first album, no big whoop.
Nope.
But I mean, half the band, they were kind of, I don't want to say a super group, but they were definitely well established in the industry. Amir Durak, one of the guitar players, was actually in an 80s hair band called Rough Cut.
Oh,
you remember Rough Cut? Yeah. Yeah. Amir was in that. And also a very talented producer. As a matter of fact, he and Jay Gordon, the vocalist, co-produced Cold Chamber's first record.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So a lot of ties to the industry were already known and respected. So when they put this band together, it was kind of a, you know, a no-brainer for a guy like Jonathan Davis to sign him. Yeah, like you said, album was Candy Ass, came out in 1998 and sold almost 2 million albums, largely to the success of Blue Monday. It was a huge hit. It charted in the US on the Hot 100, alternative, mainstream rock, and even the dance charts. It went to, I believe, number 2 on the dance charts, which is crazy.
Wow.
I mean, they were a rock band.
Yeah.
But again, it had that dance edge to it. What's funny, because I can picture people who maybe aren't familiar with Orgy right now, like going to their computers and like Googling them. And I'm warning you, by 2024 standards, they're going to look a little goofy. Like you might be like, this band's good. They look like lunatics. Yeah, man, they were really into that like late 90s, early 2000s aesthetic, the makeup, the shiny pants. Yeah. You know, they had this kind of goth meets science fiction kind of image. But it worked. And in 1998, 1999, 2000, that was so cool. Great looking band, great sound, just all around, just a killer group. And yeah, that cover of Blue Monday, man.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Like I said, I had that album. I remember them when they came out, they were, I believe on Korn's Family Values tour.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice job.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, just a great band, a great song. I love to go back and listen to that song.
Yeah, yeah. And the band's actually still together. Jay Gordon, the vocalist, is the only original member at this point, as you know, that's kind of typical of a lot of bands from that era. But yeah, I mean, Orgy's still out there doing their thing. So, you know, even if you just go to hear Blue Monday, man, I'm sure it's still amazing if you catch them live. Hell yeah.
No doubt, dude. That's a great pick, man. I did.
Thanks, bro.
Like, hey, yeah, we both started off with the... leaning a little electronic.
Well, I'm about to take a huge left turn, so go ahead, dude.
I'm taking a turn here. That
I'm so excited for these.
Okay. First, I'll give you the song, and I'll give you a couple of hints and see if you can get there.
Okay. All right.
Okay. The song that's being covered here is Sunshine of Your Love by Cream.
Okay.
The band, Three Boys from Buffalo.
I mean, Three Boys from Buffalo. I didn't know they covered that, assuming I'm correct.
Yes.
Is it Goo Goo Dolls?
It's the Goo Goo Dolls, yes.
I didn't know they covered that. No shit.
The Goo Goo Dolls covered Sunshine of Your Love on their self-titled first album back in 1987.
Wow.
Yes. They were a hardcore punk
band.
And that's the band's original lineup. And you know, back in the day, they all took the same surname, like the Ramones. So their last names were Goo. So it was Johnny Goo, Robbie Goo, and Georgie Goo.
Oh, that's so great.
But yeah, so they took Sunshine Your Love, and there's no iconic bass line. It's all just downstroke punk guitars.
Nice.
It's sloppy. It's noisy. It's like just perfect punk. But I mean, in the early days, like I said, the Goo Goo Dolls were a punk band. You know, they opened for Motorhead. They opened for DRI, Bad Religion.
Wow.
Our friend Paul, who was on the show for the final episode, saw that tour with the Goo Goo Dolls opening for DRI.
Wow.
Like, that's crazy. On that first album, Robbie, the bass player, handled all the vocals.
No shit.
Johnny, John Resnick, he didn't come out actually as a lead vocalist until the second and third albums.
No shit. I never knew that.
Yeah.
I knew Robbie sang some songs, and I've seen him live many times. He still does at least one or two songs a night, but I didn't realize he was the singer at first.
Yeah.
And so Johnny just played guitar.
Yeah, just played guitar. Some backup vocals, but yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. You think you know the Goo Goo Dolls. You don't. go back and listen to the self-titled first album. Second album is called Jed, and the third album is called Hold Me Up. And just on those three albums, they cover the Rolling Stones, Blue Oyster Cult, the Plimsolls, and CCR.
Wow.
And, Eric, they cover Prince.
No way.
On Hold Me Up, the third album, they cover Prince.
What song?
I Could Never Take the Place of Your Man.
No shit.
Yes.
Oh, my. And see, I call myself a Goo Goo Dolls fan. Back in the day, you had played me some stuff, which kind of got me into them.
Yeah.
But I guess I just never really did the deep dive on the old stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's funny to me, as you're talking, I'm sitting here and I'm picturing, much like people seeing Orgy for the first time and going, what the hell? I'm picturing people who are only familiar with like Iris and Black Balloon and all those kinds of songs.
Yeah.
Going and hearing, you know, some of these first two or three records where it's just, you know, punk music.
I would recommend going backwards. I would like start at Superstar Car Wash and then go back to Hold Me Up. If you can handle that, go to Jed. If you can still handle it, then go to the first one, and then your mind will be blown when you hear that first album.
That's amazing, man.
But that cover of the Prince song, I Could Never Take the Place of Your Man, actually features this legendary lounge singer from Buffalo named the incredible Lance Diamond on vocals. So
no
if you go
shit.
Back and listen to that song, you're not going to hear Robbie or Johnny singing. You're going to hear the incredible Lance Diamond.
Well, I say this all the time, but I know what I'm doing tonight when we get done with this. I mean, are these tracks like on Spotify? Like, can I just go find them right now? Oh, that's so good. See, this is a wonderful time to be alive for reasons like that.
Yeah.
You can literally just jump on your computer, you know, or on your phone and be like, boop, 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 and I'm hearing a song. Instead of, you know, back in the day, you could have told me about a CD or a tape and I'd have to go find it and hope it was in stock and all this shit. And 5 seconds after we're done with this episode, I'm going to be listening to the Prince cover by the Goo Goo Dolls. And that's just awesome. I love that.
But yeah, just back to their version of Sunshine Your Love. It's just a hard-edged, fast-paced, version of a classic rock song, and it's just pure punk, and it just gets me fired up every time I hear it. I love it.
Yeah, that's such a great song anyway.
Yeah, and to hear it done, but you know, you don't hear that again, that iconic bass line isn't there. It's just punk guitars. And also too, I mean, people that are familiar with some of their later work know, you know, like they did the great Supertramp cover, you'll give a little bit. So like, it's something they've done for a long time, but in those early years, they did a lot of covers.
It sounds like they picked really cool, you know, somewhat obscure cover songs.
Right, like CCR, they covered.
That's cool too.
Man. Down on the Corner.
Nice.
You know, which is odd.
Yeah.
And, you know, Don't Fear the Reaper from Blue Oyster Cult. So just, yeah, interesting choices. Yeah.
That's cool.
And there was a compilation album in the 90s called No Alternative.
Mm-hmm.
Where the Goo Goo Dolls were on there. They did a cover of Bitch by the Rolling Stones.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Again, I got homework to do now.
God. There you have it.
Nice job, dude. Yeah, that's a great one. I love it. All right, man.
All right, I'm ready.
Let's get weird.
Yeah, do it.
All right. I hope I don't oversell this too, by the way. But we had said earlier how, you know, some of these songs we might pick are relatively new to us too. Not every song that we're going to talk about tonight has been in our pocket for 20 years, 30 years. Like some of them are. I did not know this song existed literally until yesterday. I was putting my list together. I was refining. I was doing research. And, you know, Chris is sitting there and she's like, what's the topic? And I said, oh, we're doing cover songs again. We're kind of revisiting that. And so then she gets all excited because it's, again, it's a fun topic and doing the research. Yep. And, you know, so she's sitting 10 feet away on her phone and she's like scrolling through Reddit and, you know, just looking up cover songs and, you know, maybe things she's never heard before, or, you know, so she's all into it. And all of a sudden I hear this song coming from her phone and she's just staring at me, smiling. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? I recognize the voice immediately. You can't hear this artist and not immediately know who it is. But it literally took me a minute. I knew the song. I was actually like singing along, but it's so different than the original stylistically that it took me a minute to even realize what it was. Like she literally got to the chorus and I went, oh my God, the song is Shine by Collective Soul.
What?
Sung by Dolly Parton.
What?
And it's fucking brilliant, dude.
Holy shit.
Yeah, same, dude. Mind was blown. God. So I knew that Dolly Parton had done a rock album last year. So initially I just assumed, oh, that must be part of that. But the more I'm listening to the song, I'm like, no, because she really put out a rock album, you know, and she collaborates with a million people on that record. You know, Steven Tyler, Sting, Joan Jett, Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue, Linda Perry, Debbie Harry. She collaborates with all these rock people and put this album out. So I assumed it was part of that. Oh, no. This came out in 2001. So this thing has been in existence for like 23 years and I didn't even know it. She put out an album called Little Sparrow back in 2001. And the story goes like this. She was in the car with her husband driving and the song comes on the radio sometime in the 90s. And it's Collective Soul. It's Shine. And the DJ apparently didn't say the name of the song. So she and her husband were like, this is an amazing song, but we don't know who it is. So she had to find out who the artist was. And when she finally figured it out, she bought the CD and she said that, you know, she and her husband, they would play it for years in their house, like off and on, you know, over time, always loved the song. And then when she was recording the album in 2000, Little Sparrow, she was like, I should do that song. And so, dude, this is a straight up bluegrass, banjo, Dolly Parton, country ass song, dude. This is not a rocked out contemporary country. This is a bluegrass banjo picking song with her voice, and it's just epic. No big secret, dude, I'm not a big country fan. I respect the art form. I respect the artists that do it. Dolly Parton's a fucking legend. She's an icon. But I don't generally listen to country music. It's just not my style. That song is amazing, dude. I could listen to it over and over. I've listened to it like 5 times in the last 24 hours because I'm just blown away by it. I'm weirdly fascinated by it. It's so good.
No, I'm right where you were 5 minutes ago. I'm like, as soon as we're off, like done recording, I will not go to sleep until I check this out. Like I have to hear this version.
It's going to blow your mind, dude. And you know, it's slowed down a little bit. Obviously it's not rock, you know, there's no distorted guitars. Yeah. It's just straight banjo and vocals, and it's just, yeah, it's so good. Even Ed Roland, who's the main guy in Collective Soul, yeah. He's the main songwriter, singer. He even said he was so blown away when he heard that she was covering their song, because he's like, what the fuck is she doing our song for? She writes some of the most amazing songs. She's so talented, not just as a performer, as a singer, but as a songwriter. And then he heard the version. He was just like, holy shit. Like, it's so good.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a testament to, man. And I say this all the time when we talk about cover songs, a good song is a good song, man.
Yeah.
And Collective Soul was this kind of grungy rock band, you know, not super, super heavy metal, but like, you know, the grungy, they were in that from that era, you know, and to just take a song like that and do it in a completely different style.
Hmm.
And it still stands well. I mean, yeah. You know, that's a great fucking song.
Yeah.
For somebody to change it completely like that. And it's still, you know, the melody's still there and everything. It's recognizable, but it's just such a different style. That's a testament to his songwriting too, man. Cause it's an amazing song.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. That's just the hallmark of a great song.
Yeah.
But I'm just in my head, I'm trying to imagine what it sounds like. Like, that's all I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
I have to hear this song, dude. Holy shit.
Yeah. It's, wow. It's going to blow your mind, dude.
It already has.
You haven't even heard it yet. So yeah, it's a good one. And again, not being a country guy though, I have to say, yeah, all respect and praise to Dolly Parton. She's just an icon.
Yeah.
Just a great human being.
We agree with that 100%. Okay. Let's keep this party going, brother.
I'm excited for the next one.
Oh, this is great. This is one of my favorites of all time right here. Nice. This is a cover of a 1973 Stevie Wonder song from the album Inner Visions. I'm talking about the Red Hot Chili Peppers doing Higher Ground.
I'm laughing because it was on my list, but I couldn't. Not because it's not a great song. I mean, right. This happens. We talk about this all the time. It's so hard to cut songs. I had a weird feeling like Matt might do this. So I steered away from it. That's awesome. I love that you picked that. Hell yeah.
I know. I had doubts about this because I'm like, Eric might go here.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. And it was on my list until probably about 10 o'clock this morning. Like, it just got cut. So nice job.
But on the Chili Peppers 1989 album, Mother's Milk, a great funked up version of the classic, that opening keyboard hook from Stevie's original turns into Flea's just opening funky ass bass line. And this song was actually, this was my introduction to the Chili Peppers.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Didn't know anything about them. You know, the video was on heavy rotation on MTV.
Big time.
And I just fell in love with them.
Yeah.
Their look, their sound. They're so original at the time. I'd never heard or seen anything like them.
Yeah.
And you know, again, when I heard this song, the cover, I wasn't familiar with the Stevie Wonder version.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. So again, that's what I love about cover songs.
Yeah.
Is that sometimes you get to learn, you get to go back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And listen to the original. Then I hear the original. And, oh my God, this song is great too. This version is fantastic. So yeah. You fall in love with the original version.
Yeah.
That's always been, from the day I heard it, one of my favorite jams. I love that song to this day.
Same here, dude. I can listen to, and the Chili Peppers have a million great records, don't get me wrong, but those two records specifically, Mother's Milk and Blood Sugar Sex Magik,
yeah,
are just, they're just on another level, man. Yeah. I like other stuff by them too, like I said, but those two records specifically, man, I still listen to this day, and just enjoy them as much as I did all those years ago, man.
Yeah. And you think about how long they've been around, and again, Mother's Milk came out in 89. You know, and before that, but they've been playing for years. They had like several albums before that.
Yeah.
And if you think about the music that was popular at the time, man, they didn't fit in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. I mean, I imagine them like, you know, just playing clubs and out in LA and just, you know, maybe 10 people show up because they're just these weird guys.
Yeah.
Some guy playing slap bass, you know, that just, they just didn't fit in at the time. But they held true to who they were and they just kept at it. And eventually, you know, they broke through. And that was the song that really kind of broke them through nationally.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was at a time where the weird bands were becoming the superstars.
Yeah.
A lot of those bands that were getting written off as just too weird. Now they're all over MTV. Jane's Addiction was another one from that same kind of era, man. They were so bizarre and so artsy and everything that people were just like, what is this? And then when the alternative started to kind of shift and become the mainstream, like all those bands, just like I said, they became superstars.
And that was like, that was one of the best parts of the 90s. That was, it was so much fun because of that. You had all these different bands and artists coming out that prior to that would have just been, boy, they're strange. I don't want to listen to that.
Yeah.
And it's, it, people just got into it and became more accepting, and that was just a different look and a different sound.
For sure. Like I said, I can listen to the Chili Peppers all day, every day. Those albums are just so, so good.
For sure, man. Great band. Great cover.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's funny. My next pick is also a Stevie Wonder song.
Okay.
But it's not the Red Hot Chili Peppers. It's a it's one of my all-time favorite guitar players. If anybody remembers the Ride the Lightning round, Mac got me with I had to pick Eddie Van Halen or Stevie Ray Vaughan, and it hurt. It physically
hurt. That
was
exceptionally cruel.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Yeah, because they're two of my gods. I'm not even a guitar player, but those two are just, yeah, how do you pick? Yeah, I'm a huge Stevie Ray Vaughan nerd, and he's done some amazing cover songs. So I had multiple to pick from, and doing research for, you know, this episode, the more popular choice on people's lists, you know, the Rolling Stones and the Spin magazines and all those, is Little Wing, his cover of Little Wing by Jimi Hendrix. And while it's amazing, I just always end up coming back to Superstition. It's just such a great song, and the performance is just so stellar. And the reason I get so nerdy over Stevie Ray Vaughan is he's one of those players, and again, I'm not a guitar player, so I can't even tell you what he's doing on a technical level, but he's one of those guitar players that when he plays, man, I feel it. I literally feel it, as corny as that sounds, dude. He could just bend a note and make you tear up. You know what I mean? He's just, Hendrix was that way. Stevie Ray Vaughan is that way. He's just amazing to me. And the first time I heard Superstition, I was so blown away, man. Because again, love Stevie Wonder, love the original. It's absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. And his twist on it is just so, so good. It's from his 1986 live album. It's called Live Alive. It was the album, I'm not sure exactly which performance that particular song was recorded at, because it was recorded at multiple venues and they put all the songs together. But it was at the Montreux Jazz Festival, the Austin Opera House, and then the Dallas Starfest. Those are the three performances that they kind of, you know, compiled together to make the album. It's funny to do the research on it, because up until this episode, I just listened to Stevie Ray Vaughan. I mean, of course, I've read up on him and all that kind of stuff, but I mean, I never really read his self-critique or critiques of these things. And he was not terribly proud of this album.
Right.
The band was at an all-time low. The wheels were coming off, man, with booze and drugs. They were all a disaster. Those that were close to the band knew it, could see it, could hear it. The rest of us on the outside, man, it blows my mind that they were so messed up. And you listen to these performances and I'm like, I can't hear it. I mean,
I know.
That's just, talk about just another level of talent where you can be that messed up and like near death and just put on these performances that are just mind blowing.
And I had Stevie Ray on my list tonight.
Did you really?
I had Voodoo Child. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. But you're right, though, that recording, that Live Alive, you know, like you said, they weren't happy with it because they were so sloppy. And I remember at the time hearing that album for the first time and just being floored by it, you know, not being able to pick out anything wrong with it, of course.
Yeah.
Like it was perfect. And the great thing about Stevie was, you know, that was a point in our lives where, you know, hey, it was just 24/7 Motley Crue.
Yeah.
But we loved Stevie Ray Vaughan. Like, there was something about him.
Yeah.
But yeah, Superstition, that cover is just fantastic. And I remember even the video was great. And the video was a lot of fun. They did the studio version. But yeah, I love it.
Yeah, the video is awesome, too. I was going to talk about the video. It's so, I watched it today and I was just cracking up. I hadn't seen it in years. But the video, it's so 80s. You know, it's half scripted, half performance, you know, video. The gist of the video is that the band is setting up and sound checking for a performance later that night at a theater. And of course, you know, the show on the marquee, it's, you know, Friday the 13th, you know, and when they're walking into the building, you know, there's the guy hanging the signs on the marquee, and and Stevie Ray like walks under the ladder, and there's a black cat in the entire video. And the black cat is the star of the video, man, as far as I'm concerned. The black cat is wandering around the theater as they're sound checking. And one by one, he's just fucking up the band members and taking them out. Like, he knocks over a cup of coffee and it like gets the cord all wet. And bass player Tommy Shannon steps on the cord and gets electrocuted. Yep. And there's this amazing close up of his face as he's like getting toasted, like smoke's coming out of his hair, and he falls over. And then he ends up dropping a lighting rig on drummer Chris Layton, takes him out. And then opens the trap door, and the keyboardist like falls through. So by the end of the video, the only person left on stage is Stevie Ray Vaughan just ripping this solo, right? And then he gets done, and he just kind of winks at the camera and walks off. And then you hear, "Here, kitty, kitty." And the camera turns, and there's Stevie Wonder holding the black cat. And he just kind of sings the chorus a little bit. "There is superstition." Like, dude. Oh my God, the video is amazing. And again, it's so 80s. It's, you know, but man, so much fun. I was giggling like watching the video. I'm like, this is fantastic. It's like one of those, it's so bad, it's good. You know what I
That's
mean?
That's funny. I forgot all about Stevie Wonder at the end. I forgot
The cameo at the end is the best.
Yep.
So, And of course, I mean, if you're not super familiar with Stevie Ray's story, I mean, it's just, you know, cruel irony, you know, after years of drug abuse and booze and everything, he gets sober, you know, releases the double platinum album Instep in 1989. And then, a year later, gone, helicopter crash. They played a show in Wisconsin.
Yep.
The helicopter was taking him out and crashed into a ski slope. And we lost 35 years old, man. 35.
Sucks.
Just put out so much amazing music at such a young age. Like, we got cheated, man, because God, what did he have in him? Like, what was to come? You know what I mean? Yeah. Love Stevie Ray Vaughan.
I think you said it best. We got cheated. Like, the world lost out there, man.
Big time.
Who knows what that dude would have produced?
Yeah, absolutely. It sucks.
Look at us. Two Stevie Wonder originals here. I would not have guessed that going into tonight.
That's amazing.
All right. This one, I think you'll be familiar with.
All right.
I'm going to go with it. It's a cover of a Black Sabbath song.
Oh, okay.
From the album Volume 4, originally released in 1972. Song is Changes.
Yep.
Sung by Charles Bradley. He's an American soul singer, sort of like an Otis Redding style singer.
Okay, I know of this. I don't know if I've ever heard it.
Holy shit, dude. What a cover. What a version of this song.
Oh, man.
So, just going back to the original, you know, Sabbath tune written by bassist Geezer Butler about the breakup of drummer Bill Ward, breakup Bill Ward was going through with his wife at the time. Mm-hmm. But then Charles Bradley's version was first released as a Record Store Day single in 2013.
Oh, wow.
Before it appeared as the title track on his 2016 album Changes. But Charles Bradley had never heard of the song. He didn't know anything about it. Someone in his camp kind of, you know, like presented it to him like, you should do a version of this. He didn't want to. And at the time, his mother was really sick, Charles.
Okay.
And the lyrics just kind of hit a little too hard.
Oh, wow.
He didn't want to sing the song.
Yeah.
But then after his mother passed, he said, you know, it felt natural for him to do it and sing the song. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, it's just a great example of why I love cover songs.
Yeah.
It can have a different meaning or interpretation and sound based on who's singing it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And his version is just so beautiful. And just to hear just that voice, that rich, soulful voice, man, singing a Black Sabbath song, you know, first kind of messes with your mind a little bit when you hear it, you know, that Ozzy originally sang, and then you hear this other voice singing it. But it's just done so well, and it's beautiful. I urge you all, go to YouTube. There's a live performance of Charles Bradley singing this. It's like an interview / performance with like the Toronto Star or something. And he's singing this song because he explains the whole backstory with his mother. As he's singing this song, he's just covered in sweat and tears are coming out of his eyes,
man.
And he's giving it everything he has. And I'm telling you, if you as a viewer can make it through that and not get a little choked up, then there's no hope for you. Like, it's so beautiful. It's so well done.
Oh, man. All right. So, Goo Goo Dolls and then the Changes cover. Okay, this is really I'm making notes for later tonight. That's a really cool cover song because it's the least Black Sabbath song of all Black Sabbath songs.
Yes.
You could make a case for Planet Caravan, but I think Changes is it's the least Black Sabbath song ever made. it's pretty. I mean, it's a pretty song. The melody's pretty, the vocal delivery. I mean, as pretty as Ozzy can get, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm picturing it in my, or I'm trying anyway, I might be way off base, but I'm trying to picture it in my head, like sung from a more soulful, you know, perspective. And it's amazing.
It's beautiful. And you're right about the original. Like when I hear the original, I think, oh, Ozzy's trying to do the Beatles.
Right. Yeah. Like, that's great. That's perfect. That's the best way to describe it. Absolutely.
And he does it well. I love the original.
Yeah, it's a great, great song.
Yeah, yeah. But this version is just, it's a standout, man. And it just knocks you on your ass when you hear it. It's so good.
Oh, that's awesome. I had heard of the song, even just, you know, doing research like this, it shows up on lists and stuff. And I just don't think I've ever heard it. And quite possibly I'm going to play it and go, oh shit, yes, I have heard that. Yeah, that happens all the time. I think I haven't heard something until I hear it. Then I go, oh wait, I do know this. But yeah, I will definitely be checking that out tonight too.
Yeah, dude. It's fantastic.
Dude, I'm loving that we are all over the road tonight as far as like
we are,
genres and, you know, it's so good, man. I got another one for you that I think is pretty out there. May surprise you a little bit.
All right.
Although you know me so well, man. I don't know if you get surprised at anything anymore, but this next one, and I've said on this show many times that I am a sucker for an 80s pop song.
Mm.
Back in the 80s, I couldn't admit that, you know, because the long-haired kid with the Metallica patch on his jacket couldn't say that he liked what I'm about to say. But I've secretly always loved this song, man. I am talking about Bananarama's version of Venus.
Oh, yes. Yes, dude.
Dude, I love that song, man. It was like they were the Spice Girls for me before the Spice Girls were a thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, dude, Cruel Summer, man.
Cruel Summer was another amazing song. But yeah, my first exposure to them was their cover of Venus. Bananarama was a British pop group formed in London in 1980. And it was originally a trio consisting of friends Sarah Dallin, Siobhan Fahey, and Karen Woodward. They were friends since they were, you know, teenagers. Started this group, had a string of international hits, mostly in the 80s. Some hits like Shy Boy, I Heard a Rumor, Cruel Summer, and of course, Venus. Mm-hmm. Venus was originally performed by a Dutch rock band. Do you remember the name?
No, I don't know.
Shocking Blue.
Oh.
They released it in 1969, and they had a huge hit with it themselves. It reached the top of the charts in 9 countries, including the U.S. So, I mean, it was a big, big hit for them. And if you've heard the original, but you're more familiar with the Bananarama version, go back and listen to the original. And it's shocking how Bananarama and their producers, they didn't change it that much. They modernized it. Obviously, it's, you know, 80s technology. There's drum loops and synths. And, you know, it's very dancey and 80s. But the core of the song is it's unchanged. The melody's the same, you know, everything's there. But the original is so minimalistic. It's like a couple of instruments. I read that they recorded it on like a 2-track. So I mean, like, this is not like a big, you know, 86 million track studio. I mean, it's 2 tracks. It's so basic, but it's just such a cool little song, man. It's just a great tune.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, to go to the top of the charts in 9 countries, it can't suck. And then, Bananarama came along and just, oh my God, the song blew up for them. It was from their 86 album called True Confessions, peaked at number 1 on the Hot 100 in the US. And the album True Confessions reached number 6 on the UK album charts and number 15 on the US Billboard, becoming the group's highest charting album ever. And Bananarama, still around, still performing. They're 2-piece now. So if you get a chance, go check out Bananarama. But yeah, man, the cover of Venus.
Yes,
oh my God. But again, yeah, I'm just a sucker for 80s pop songs, man. And that's one of the best. I love that song.
And dude, again, that was, you know, a band back then we wouldn't have admitted that we liked, you know. My sisters listened to it, but I would be like, I could hear it in the house. And I was just, oh, I loved Bananarama, dude. They were so damn cool.
Yeah, they really were, man.
Yeah.
And again, yeah, you mentioned Cruel Summer.
That's
another
a great
one.
Song.
Oh, God, I love that song. That song is so good.
Well, you said, I Heard a Rumor. That's a great one, too.
Yeah, they had a string of really, really great songs. And as a matter of fact, today I was on Amazon looking up Bananarama vinyl.
But did you find any?
I will not confirm whether I have the greatest hits coming in the mail or not. I will not admit to that, but it might be.
Not that I'm going to go look it up.
Of course not.
I mean, I might.
All right, man. What do you got next?
Okay. This one just makes me laugh, makes good. Me smile every time I hear it. It's just so good. It's a cover of Carly Simon's You're So Vain.
Oh, do I know who this is? It's been covered a few times.
This is done by... This is Faster Pussycat.
Yes!
Yes!
Oh, God, I love Faster Pussycat, dude.
Faster Pussycat was one of the greatest bands in the 80s, man. They were just so much fun. But in 1990, they covered You're So Vain for a compilation album.
Yeah.
For Elektra's 40th anniversary. And they took that song and just gave it some 80s Sunset Strip sleaze and just made it so good. Lead singer, Tie Me Down. I mean, he's up there with like the best names in rock and roll.
It really is one of the best ever. Tie Me Down.
It really is.
Come on.
Tie Me Down. But just the way his sort of like rough sort of vocals in that song and just the super bouncy guitar riff that they threw in there. And just the irony of the whole thing too, because having an 80s metal band cover a song called You're So Vain just makes it ridiculously ironic, you know, because the look, the image of that whole era, they were just all about vanity. Like every video, every magazine shoot, it's 100%. These dudes looking in the mirror, teasing up their hair and like putting makeup on and shit. And here they are singing You're So Vain.
Dude, a band like that, and no disrespect, believe me, I love this band. That is no exaggeration. But a band like that literally spent more time getting ready than their actual performance. They'd spend 3 hours getting ready to play for 45 minutes. If that doesn't scream vanity, dude, nothing does.
Yeah. But they were such a fun, fun band. Faster Pussycat. They were great. Just straight rock and roll. With a little bit of a metal edge to it. But just to me, they were a little bit unique in that 80s era. Their sound was just a little bit different than anybody else.
Yeah, they definitely had a little more, I would say, like old Aerosmith in there than maybe some of the other bands.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I also always loved about and still love about Faster Pussycat was, I think Tie Me Down was one of the best lyricists in a sense that his innuendos and double entendres were so good. Oh my God, dude. I mean, just, read some of the lyrics off, like the song, where there's a whip, there's a way. I mean, just shit like that. Song titles like that are fucking brilliant, dude. And he did that so good. There were so many terrible, songs from a lyrical perspective from that era. There was just so much garbage. And his stuff was always so tongue in cheek, and it came with a wink, you know, and again, just he could imply things without actually saying them. And I always loved his lyrics and his vocal delivery was just always so good.
Yeah. Yeah. You're exactly right. I mean, that's one of the things that made them stand out to me anyways, was his vocal delivery.
Yeah. He didn't sound like anybody else.
Right. But again, just the cover version, the You're So Vain, just sped it up a little bit, gave it that great guitar hook, and his vocals just make it, to me, it's one of my favorite covers of all time.
Yeah, that's a great one.
I love to listen to it. It makes me smile every time.
Same here. I'm grinning just talking about it, dude. I love, oh God, I love that band. They're a little harder to find on vinyl, in case you're wondering. I've been trying.
Oh,
yeah. And if you do come across like a copy, like an original pressing on eBay or something, or like hundreds of dollars, I'm like, I don't have that kind of scratch to spend on a piece of vinyl. But man, if they re-release some of that shit, I am on it like day one.
Yeah, no doubt.
Nice job, dude. Yeah, I got so excited when you said You're So Vain. I'm like, oh God, it's got to be Faster Pussycat. It's got to be Faster Pussycat. I was so excited. Oh my God, I almost blew your reveal there. I was so excited. Nice choice, dude.
Everybody out there listening, go check out Faster Pussycat. Do yourself a favor.
Yes, please do.
All right.
All right. So my last one, I can't believe it's my last one already. Again, bringing the weirdness tonight. The band itself isn't such a weird choice for me. It's not the band. It's the song. I think you're going to be like, really, dude? So Korn has released a few cover songs throughout their career, and they always do cool shit, right? You know, they did Lowrider.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They did Pink Floyd's, yeah, yeah, you know, yeah, A Brick in the Wall. They did Word Up by Cameo.
Yes, right. Word Up.
Always,
yes,
did these great, great covers, right? Well, this one wasn't on a Korn album. It was actually a covers album of a soundtrack. And the album I'm talking about is, it's called Nightmare Revisited. Back in 2008, a bunch of artists got together with Danny Elfman, who writes all of the music for Tim Burton movies. It was released in conjunction with the film's 15th anniversary. So they did this special revisited soundtrack, and they got popular artists at the time to re-record the iconic songs from the movie. And Korn does Kidnap the Santa Claus from the movie. I can tell by the look on your face, you might not be the biggest Nightmare Before Christmas fan.
I am not familiar with this at all, but holy shit, do I have to check this out.
Oh my God, dude. Well, first of all, the movie is one of my all-time favorite movies. I have three of the characters tattooed on the back of my arm right here. And actually, it's the three are singing the song. On my arm, I have in my Halloween tattoo, I have Lock, Shock, and Barrel from A Nightmare Before Christmas. And they are the ones who, in the movie, sing this song, Kidnap the Sandy Claus. They think his name is Sandy Claus, like C-L-A-W-S, because it's a Tim Burton movie.
Yeah.
The gist of the movie is that they're going to go kidnap Santa Claus so that Jack Skellington can take over Christmas, because he's tired of doing Halloween. He wants to do Christmas. So that's the short version of the movie. So Korn chose that one. And there's a lot of amazing artists and amazing songs on the soundtrack. Marilyn Manson is on there. Amy Lee from Evanescence, Flyleaf, Rise Against, Rodrigo y Gabriela are on there, All American Rejects. There's just all these amazing artists on there, and they redo songs from the movie. But there's just something about the Korn one, man. It's just so good. Jonathan Davis's vocal delivery, he can do such crazy acrobatic things with his voice anyway, to go from like these guttural, yeah, like, you know, moans and sounds like he's in pain to these high-pitched squeals and, you know, everything in between. So he's singing a song that in the movie is sung by three different people. The vocalists in the movie are Catherine O'Hara, who plays the role of Shock, Paul Rubens, that's right, Pee-wee Herman.
Okay.
Yep. He is the voice of, yes, Lock, Shock, and Barrel. And Danny Elfman himself plays Barrel. So Jonathan Davis is singing a song that's sung by three different people. So his voice and his delivery is bouncing all over the place to cover these three different verses and vocal performances, because each one's a little different. You know, there's a female character, there's, you know, two male characters, and he just does such an amazing job. And Korn's sound also lends itself so good to that track. It's absolutely amazing, mm-hmm, man. So first of all, please go watch the movie, for God's sake.
Yeah. Well, I know, what the heck wrong with me?
I have it on like three different formats. I think I have it on VHS. I have the original DVD, and then I have the Blu-ray, because I'm a nerd. But every Halloween, that's our like ritual in our house. We watch, or the night before we actually watch it, because we're giving out candy and stuff on Halloween. But yeah, we always watch Nightmare Before Christmas. And it's one of my favorite movies. And the soundtrack is amazing.
How long have we known each other? And I'm still learning shit about you. Like,
that's too funny, man.
I tell you what, between this song that you're talking about right now and Dolly Parton, like, I'm going to have the greatest evening.
Yes.
Before I go to sleep tonight.
Oh, my God.
That's great stuff, man. See, and that's kind of what I love, just the conversation about covers, because there's all the ones that you know, the obvious ones. And the obvious ones are cool because they're obvious, because we all love them.
Sure.
But being able to pick up, you know, learn something new, a couple new songs that I wasn't familiar with, that now I'm going to go investigate and, you know, more than likely fall in love with. So that's why I love this topic.
Yeah. And absolutely. Same here. That's why I get so excited doing these episodes, you know, and that was my goal too, is I agree with you, you know, the big cover songs that we all know and love, you hear them all the time and you talk about them all the time. Part of my excitement for this is, you know, not just you and I talking about these songs and trying to surprise each other, but yeah, I love the idea of turning on people that may not have heard some of these things and having them rush to Spotify after the episode and check out some of these songs, man. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Totally. All right. Let's wrap up this episode. We're going to do some shout outs and we're going to listen to me murder the names of some of these locations.
It's my favorite part of the show every episode, dude. I love watching you struggle with some of these names, dude. That's why I never volunteer to do it. I hope you realize that. I'm like, I'm never, ever going to do the location shout outs because it just brings me so much joy watching you do it. So there you go.
Now look at my face. But wait a minute. All right. A couple easy ones in here. A couple that I'm going to struggle with, but I'm going to give it a go.
All right. I'm here for it.
Thank you. Shout outs to listeners in Madrid, Spain, Cohill, Ontario, Canada, Hapage, Long Island, H-A-U-P-P-A-U-G-E.
That's a tough one.
Man.
That's a tough one.
I don't know.
But thank you. However you pronounce it, thank you. We love you. And we will get it right next time.
I'm sorry for butchering the name of your beloved city. Sherherville.
That's a mouthful.
Indiana. Yeah, it sounds like an old Steve Martin bit. Sherherville. Olympia, Washington.
Nice.
Of course, title of one of my favorite Rancid songs. So
there you go.
Had to shout that out. The Dalles, Oregon. Here's Morgan. Wu-Tang reference? Anyone?
Wow, you are on fire tonight, dude.
The Bronx, Peoria, Illinois, Southlake, Texas, and Menominee Falls, Wisconsin.
Ooh. That's two in a row from Wisconsin.
Menominee.
That was the best cover of the night right there.
But thank you to everybody out there listening and enjoying the show. You know, we'd love to hear from you. Follow us on Instagram at The Greatest Mixtape Podcast. Rate us, review us, subscribe, send us an email, thegreatestmixtapepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love feedback, show ideas, anything.
Always.
Just hit us up.
Hell yeah.
That is it, my man. That was fun. I love this topic. I could do this topic every week.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And speaking of which, if you have any suggestions for us for cover songs for a few, because again, we will do this episode, this topic again. Yeah. Hit us up with an email or a direct message and give us some ideas. Love to hear from you.
Yeah, would absolutely love that because I'm sure there's a million more songs out there maybe we haven't heard of or aren't as familiar with that someone out there just loves and wants the world to hear more about. So for sure, hit us up with any ideas.
100%. All right. Well, that is going to wrap it up for us once again. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. We enjoyed it. We hope you enjoyed it even a fraction as much as we did.
That's right.
This is The Greatest Mixtape Podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Mac.
And we will talk to you soon.